Welcome to Functional Design and Closure. I am Nate Jones.
And I'm Christoph Newman.
We're here to help you use closure and functional programming to make your developer life as sparkly as, no, sorry, as less frustrating and more fulfilling as we possibly can.
But hey, if it is a little bit more sparkly, then that's a wonderful thing, right?
We
want to enjoy programming every day, and that's partly why we use closure.
We love it. And we definitely have lots of sparkly times. So,
yes, in between the dark, dark clouds. Are you new to this podcast? If you are, we recommend that you head on over to closuredesign.club and check out episode one. Episode one frames up why we do this in the first place.
Yeah, it talks about all the series we've been through. And speaking of series, we just last episode finished up a nice, beefy, meaty one, a good series about Sportify, right? Remember Sportify?
Sportify.
I was hoping we could work that in one more time. So anyway, we worked through it. It's a pretty hairy problem with lots of I/O, but we tackled it with a bottom-up, REPL-driven approach, and that really ended up at a good place. So you'll want to check that out. But we're not talking about that this week. We're talking about something new.
That's right.
And it's always fun to start something new, right, Christoph?
Oh, yes. It is always fun to start something new. In fact, when you start something new, you don't have to worry about all those other things from the past.
Yes, fresh slate.
Yes, hiding gremlins just waiting to jump out and bite you. And that reminds me of something that happened to me recently, Nate.
Yes, do tell.
Well, it turns out I had to reopen a code base that I have basically not looked at in 14 months. It's a product that I had been working on in depth for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I set that product code base down for a while. It's out there doing its thing, running. And recently I decided to do some more work on it. And I had not touched that code base in 14 months. And boy, oh boy, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous because that other guy who made all the code, you know, me 14 months ago, I wasn't sure like how good of a teammate he was going to be.
Oh, yes. You and the developer 14 months ago, huh?
Oh, yeah. 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 Was this other guy, you know, this crappy developer from 14 months ago, or stunning, amazing developer, right? Was he the kind of teammate who's going to document things, write readmes, specific instructions, you know, leave some notes behind? Or was he a teammate that was just going to hack something out and maybe even forget to check it in, and it's just going to be in the local checkout,
right? Or in random branches. I've been there before. Oh.
So I was feeling pretty optimistic going into this. I'm like, I'm definitely, you know, feeling pretty good about this. But the first test really is like, can I even get this thing to run? Right? Like, how did I run this? It's been so long. I have my kind of usual ways, right? But it's like, well, I got to run a REPL. I got to open up the code. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, where is everything too? Like, well, sure, I know where the source code is. I have the Git repo. I can grub through files, but it's like, oh, yeah, what were the major parts of this? How is it organized? Like, how does data flow through this thing? It's been so long.
But wait, isn't all that information in your head? Like, you were the same person. I mean, it's in there somewhere, right? What happened?
Oh, I know, right? Right. It's like, it's kind of fun as I started looking through the code. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like I have that benefit. It's a little different than walking in completely fresh, right? You're walking into a big old established code base that's been around for a while, and you know, you're the new guy. That's a different yet similar problem.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, man, that's actually, hearing you talk about this, that reminds me of my problem, which is exactly what you just said. I joined my team about 3 years ago, And I walked into it's a closure code base, so at least it's got the parentheses there, the hugs waiting for me.
Ah, yes, warm hugs.
But since I had never seen the code base before, I had a lot of the same problems. But the benefit I had is I could blame people that weren't myself. People that were no longer on the team. No, just kidding. I think one of the things that this always reminds me of is the word legacy, and how legacy is like this big bad word. And I feel like legacy, no, it should be a badge of honor. It's software that is running right now is paying your salary, and so you should have a reverence for code that exists and is running. So I walked in with a healthy amount of reverence. And then I was assigned my first bug fix. And the reverence quickly etched away.
I love that. I love a bug fix, right? Because you're going to have to start visiting all sorts of different parts of the code, start tracing the data flow, like what's involved in really understanding the code base in order to make a change.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, there's this temptation to be like, I'm just going to go read all the code. Hold on. Hold on. Please pay me a salary for 2 years while I just read all the code and understand it. And, and obviously that, that doesn't happen. you have to do your best. And I think it's been quite a process to learn all those things, as I've gone through it. But it's a frustrating process because you want to make things. I wanted to make changes. I wanted to start adding value. Say, you know, be a worthwhile contributor to the team. And I found that lots of my teammates were able to do things a lot faster. And so I was like, oh man, okay. And I got the same exact problems. What is this data? There's a map here. You know, Clojure doesn't have types. And I'm mostly glad about that. But then there was maps that were flying around, and it's like, I don't know what this. I was printing everything out and getting lost in these huge data structures. You know,
yeah.
How are these apps put together? Like, it's a bunch of microservices, and so they didn't all just arrive on the scene at the same time. And so there's a different, like, they were created over a series of years, you know, to add value when the need was arising. Well, but that means that they have different technologies. One uses, you know, mounts, and one uses component, and one use, you know, and it's like, oh well, but how are these things even structured? You know, I wouldn't structure this way, but that's fine. I didn't do it. I do have to understand it. That's the difficult part, you know.
Right. What's the flow of information as it passes between the different microservices? Mm-hmm. How much can one service get done before it has to call out to another service, and it's at its beck and call or beholden to the response? You know, maybe it's a great model the way it's set up, or maybe it's just doing all these microservice calls all over the place. What on earth is going on? How do we even know what came back? How do we know if it worked? How do we know if it failed? Why am I getting nothing done?
And the funny thing is, I've actually been working with this code long enough that I actually have micro versions of what you were talking about, where I wrote code 14 months ago or 16 months ago or whatever, and I go back to try to help or, you know, adjust it again. And so not only is there parts of the code that are new, completely new to me, there's parts that are new to me because it's been months since I am the previous owner of that, you know. And so there's like a multi-layer, you know, how do I leverage that past knowledge, and how do I learn about, you know, how to even be productive, you know. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. It's a very hard problem.
Yeah, for sure. You want to dive in. You want to feel like you're making progress. You want to be contributing. You want to understand it. And it's just brand new. There's so much to learn. And so I think this whole topic, this fresh eyes in a code base, maybe it's code you wrote, but it's been so long, it's not all front of mind, you know, which is a little bit of an easier problem because you do get recollection at some point in time. Or you're a new team member and you're diving in with fresh eyes into a code base you've never seen before. I think this is such a great topic because it brings up so many important things, so many important issues that we face as developers. Right, it touches all those points, because we spend so much time reading code and forming mental models about what is going on. And so when you are diving into code you've never seen before, or you're diving into code you have seen before, but boy, oh boy, you just can't remember.
Yeah.
It's touching on that fundamental challenge in software development, right? Of understanding, comprehending, and reasoning about the code base.
Yeah, I think it's one of the primary drivers behind the why of a lot of the so-called best practices of the industry. You know, why do you write tests? Why do you write documentation? Why do you try to have a good design in your application? Why do you do those things? You know, well, why? Why do you do those things? I think it pulls at the trying to understand, because our brains, you know, and I say our brains, I'm mostly talking about my brain. So if your brain is different and better, then that's awesome. But my brain, I can hardly hold a single problem in it at a time. And so I'm always learning new code. Like even the code that I wrote, you know, last week on the same project, I'm learning that code. And so there's this constant learning that we have to do. And so trying to make that easier, there are ways we can be better at it from our side as better learners, but like the problem really is how can we as teammates, you know, either the self-referential teammates or the other ones, the ones that are no longer with us. Whoa, that, yes. Sorry, that got morbid. I mean, they moved on to better projects, other projects.
The better projects in the sky.
Yes.
In the cloud, right?
Right. In the yes. That's,
oh that's yes, the... yes. We've lost him to a better project in the cloud.
He moved to a better project upstate.
Yeah, it's easy to say that. Oh, we have great documentation. Oh, our code is super readable. Oh, decoupled. Oh, absolutely. This is so decoupled. This is great. Our pure data models. Oh. Totally comprehensible. It's easy to say that, but you really find out if these things are true when somebody new joins, or when you have to revisit this after not looking at it for a long time.
Yeah, that's the true test, I think, of if it actually is useful. And I think getting back to my legacy comment before, I feel like there's this, you know, every change, every part of software was put there intentionally. Like someone committed that. And, you know, I mean, whether or not it was a good design or bad design is up for debate, but like it was done. And in order to continue to work on it, because software is never done, you're always, even if you're just maintaining, what I work on mostly is maintenance, you know, tech debt, repayments, bug fixes, that kind of stuff. You know, operating software is a huge engineering effort. And so you're always trying to teach someone else about your code in that. And so by virtue of that, you know, there's always some future person there. And so, yes, how good you do each of those practices is really valuable.
Yeah, definitely. And so we think this topic is so great. We're going to do a whole series on it. We're going to dive into the implications of being new, having fresh eyes, and coming back and taking a look at the code base. You know, what does that mean? Where do we put stuff? How do we find things? How do we understand and reason about our code? How do we run the thing in the first place? And what do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves in this situation? But what can we do now as we're setting up the situation for new people, including maybe us again in the future.
In the future. Absolutely. Well, so I hope you are looking forward to exploring this problem with us. We're certainly looking forward to exploring it. So if you have any insights, any things that you have bitten you, or problems like that we didn't mention at all, please pop into our Closure Design Podcast channel on the Closure in Slack. And give us a message, send us a message, send us a tweet at Closure Design on Twitter. I'm calling it Twitter. I'm just going to I'm just going to stick with it, you know. And then finally, you can also send us an email, which we would love, at feedback@closuredesign.club. But at any rate, just send us something. Send us anything that you that this topic calls out in you. Send us any of those war wounds, the deep dark feelings that cause you anger and make you hate someone that is no longer with us. Because that's the good stuff to talk about. So we want to hear you.
That's right. Do you have a story that you'd like to share? We would love to hear it from you in email or a tweet or at our Closure Design Podcast channel in Slack. Any of those ways, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to find out more about this show or see the past episodes or the past series, including the Sportify series that we just finished, go to closuredesign.club and you can find all of the info there.
That's great. All right. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.